This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Wawinjeka. Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities. A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Urban Dreaming. How are you all? I'd like to thank Worldwide Way for their fabulous show and obviously boasting about all their podcast followers. I'm sure we'll get there one day. what do you think, Chris? In the studio, we've got Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. You were in Sydney. How was that? Had a little break?
Yeah, had a little break last week. Missed the show.
Oh, no,
so that
same.
Was sad. But I did listen via the Joy app.
I'm sure you did. Taking notes?
I was taking a few notes. But no, it's good. Back refreshed. And it's all good.
And we also have Declan back in the studio. I think you were here last week, weren't you, Declan?
Yeah, I am here back again. Kay Aaron, I'm looking forward to another week of adventures.
We didn't scare you away, thank goodness.
No. I'm very, very happy to be back.
And we've got a jam-packed show today. We've got, we've had a busy week, and there's a busy week coming up because the Yirrumboy Festival, as the team from Worldwide Wave mentioned, you know, Yirrumboy is the Melbourne International Indigenous Arts Festival, which starts this Friday, goes for 10 days. And we have two very special guests in the studio. We have Alexis West and Yvette Walker, who are going to talk to us very shortly because they're going to tell us all about what they're doing at the Yirrumboy Festival. Plus, I want to pick their brains about their lives because they are two very talented females.
94.9 in Melbourne.
Yeah, if you have a question, maybe, you know, what's Miscellaneous wearing tonight? Or, you know, we'd like to. My goal is to at least get one text during our time here at Urban Dreaming. And I know last time we used to have the 11 till midnight slot, and I think it was just my mum and dad listening at that time. But I know that there's more people out there now listening, so make sure you text in.
Yep, keep us company.
Keep us company. As I mentioned before, we have two incredible. I'm so honoured to have them in the studio, actually. They're here as a part of a Yirrumboy Festival and as a part of the National Indigenous Dance Forum, Black Dance Forum. And what's the name I've got here? But I'll get to the girls and we can talk a bit about that in terms of the name that I know that the language name that Yirrumboy is using.
I think it's Woiwurrung.
Woiwurrung?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yes.
It means tomorrow.
Which is so incredible about this, the Yirrumboy.
Yeah.
Which is so incredible about all of this festival is that Jacob's really engaged all of the language from the Kulin Nation and particularly the Wurundjeri and the Bunurong. And, it's so great to see that on the website and in the program and to be the first language that's there and not English. But we'll talk lots about Yirrumboy because I'm so excited about it. But first, let me introduce the two very special guests. We've got Yvette Walker. She grew up in Cloncurry, same as Stephen Oliver. She's got a Scottish father and a mother who's Aboriginal, and she comes from the Wanyi people. And we've got Alexis West, who was also born in Queensland, Birigaba, Waka Waka, Kanak and Caucasian woman. What did I say before?
Concasian.
Anyway,
no,
welcome.
I just want to acknowledge I'm white too.
Yeah. White, yes. That's, and welcome to Urban Dreaming.
Thank you so much for having us. Such
absolute
an
pleasure.
Honour and privilege to be on Kulin Country as well. Yeah.
So, and when did you arrive? Like
today.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been full throttle since we got here.
Straight into the studio.
Yeah, that's it.
You've come just in time for the rain.
Yeah.
Really putting on all the best weather Melbourne has to offer.
That's right, the beautiful cold.
Yeah. But it's good to
it's good to rug up though, isn't it? Like get all your fancy outfits out.
Well, because it's definitely not that cold in Brisbane. I jumped off the plane and yeah, freezing styles. So we're straight into the suitcase, pulling out the heavier jackets.
Well, you both look fabulous. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you. You know,
what are you wearing? Tell us what you're wearing.
It's a little Camilla tonight. I wanted to be comfortable. So it's a little Camilla, and I just thought, you know, it's a bit loungy. I've come, you know, straight.
Very pretty.
You just look gorgeous.
Thank you. Now, look, tell us a little bit about the National Indigenous Dance Forum, what's happening, why you're here, you know, what is it, what's, how can people get involved or who's coming, all of that stuff.
Yeah, so it's been an incredible process of coming on board with Black Dance and working with them through this process of pulling this incredible event together. So this is actually the outcome of the 2015 forum, where one of the greatest needs that was expressed was that mob in the dance sector, Black dance sector, wanted a greater conversation, a national conversation, which is really important because you know how diverse all our mobs are.
Yeah.
So in order for there to be that sort of, I guess, authenticity and that togetherness of moving forward into the next stage of this particular sector of black arts, that really needs to happen. So that's the most exciting thing about it from my perspective, is the diversity is incredible, and First Nations mob from not only around Australia but also overseas, which I think is really exciting.
Absolutely. And I think, as you mentioned, Black Dance, you know, it's been going for many years now, and it has gone through different variations, and you know, one time was, you know, on the brink of kind of collapsing, and you know, it's so great that it's come back now, and to be, you know, the leading peak organisation for black dance in this country. And like you said, to be able to bring so many diverse mob together.
Absolutely.
To be able to share our knowledge, share our training, and continuing our history and our knowledges, you know, is so great.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you touching on the point of there was that touch and go point and that kind of stuff, and that's a testament to the spirit of everybody who has worked on that organisation over the years, that although we go through trials and tribulations, it doesn't mean that something should cease to exist. We should fight harder to find those ways, to find the right ways together. And there's a real coming around of a big, I kind of feel like it's a big circle coming back around for black dance.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you've got Marilyn Miller, who was
the original.
You know, one of the OGs, and she's one of the facilitators and plays a very key part in this particular event this year. And a lot of our beautiful pioneers that we hold in high regard and owe a hell of a lot to are very much so present and a part of this process. So that's exciting as well.
And you mentioned that there are people, you know, nationwide plus international. How many people are going to be coming for this?
A lot.
A lot.
So there's a lot of mob coming. So we're sitting, you know, around 180 First Nations delegates.
Wow.
Yep. And then presenters and international producers from overseas. That's sitting up around the sort of 20-ish kind of mark. And then, you know, you sort of look at the team and all the hands that come together, our volunteers and all that kind of stuff. So that's a team of around sort of 25, I'd say. So it's a big gathering, this one.
Wow, yeah. And it's so great that it's at the start of this festival. And will a lot of the people attending have an opportunity, because it's on the Friday, it starts on Thursday, doesn't it, actually?
Oh, no, it's the first 3 days of Urine Boy.
So Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So Jacob has been working very closely with Miranda Donnelly, the executive producer of Black Dance, in curating something that was really complementary to what was happening during the day with the National Indigenous Dance Forum, in feeding it into the programming during the evening.
I think he's done such a great job with that. And we had him in a couple of weeks ago, I think, and he, you know, he's a great mate of mine, and I've known him for over 20 years now. So, you know, I'm so proud of what he's achieved with this. But with this festival, he has done such a great job of being able to really complement all of the different things that are happening.
Absolutely.
Particularly around performance, but around kind of advocacy, around workshops, summits, leadership, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, to hear that there are 100, over over 180 dance mob coming. Just so, you know, is so...
No, and well done to him, and so proud. And it's an incredible time, not only for Melbourne, but for First Nations mob around the country and also overseas as well. This is a real game changer.
So who... just tell us a little bit about who's coming from overseas. Like who are the, what nations are coming? Or
yeah, so
countries.
We've got First Nations mob from New Zealand, Canada, America, Hawaii, Papua New Guinea. Where else?
Wow.
Yeah, so that gives you...
I think Samoa?
Kind of, I might be one, I think. Possibly. I'm not sure. Yeah, yeah.
I hope so, because they're hot.
Well, no. yes. Well, you know, that's...
Can we try and get one? If not, can we do no?
Yeah.
Miscellaneous needs a husband. And Alexis, what's your role on the Black Dance, the forum?
So I have the role of,
Cultural host.
Oh. And, pretty much making cups of teas, coffees, driving people around, whatever vet tells me, really.
No.
Yeah. And then I think on Friday I'll be, just kind of facilitating the panels, but, you know, allowing people just to speak and just, you know, guiding it so that conversation doesn't either get too bogged down or taken over by one particular person, just really, you know, making sure that the space is really shared.
Wow, and that's, I think with all those people, that's, you know, that's going to be such an important role to be able to do that. And, you know, I think you have such a great personality to be able to do that.
Thank you.
But we'll come back soon and talk more, because I want to pick your brain about, you know, your careers and what you've done, because not only are you working on this project, but you've had such an illustrious career in the things that you do. So we'll come back very shortly. We are on Urban Dreaming, Joy FM.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex elders and their allies are invited to burn up the dance floor for all the Queen's Men's Monthly Dance Club. No dance experience is needed and all welcome with catering and drinks provided. The venue is wheelchair accessible. For dates and location, head to the website allthequeensmen.net/projects to RSVP, email Tristan at allthequeensmen.net or call 0421 572 221. A community message brought to you by Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Thank you.
That was Rita Tomlin, Part of Me on the Desert Divas compilation. You're listening to Joy 94.9 FM.
Urban Dreaming. Here we are in the studio with the fabulous Chris T, Declan, and we have Yvette Walker and the fabulous Alexis West joining us tonight. And I forgot to say, Sir Rummy is not here tonight. He's got something else on, something else more important, I think. Well, what's more important than being here, quite frankly? You must have a hot date, maybe. We'll have to find out next week. Come back next week.
Text in if you'd love to know.
Text in if you're with
what is he up
Sir
to?
Rummy. That's a really exciting, you know, text, isn't it? So now, as I mentioned, we've got the two fabulous ladies that are a part of Urimboy working on the National Indigenous Dance Forum. And as I mentioned, they have had such great careers in their own right. Yvette, you've been to... you trained... in Queensland?
Yeah, I did. I went through the Aboriginal Centre for Performing Arts. At the time, I was actually studying a dual degree of psychology and social work.
Oh, wow. So then you went on the
next
other side.
Next minute, yeah. Go to the arts.
It does make sense, though.
It does make, yeah. Well, it kind of like goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
There'll be a lot of subjects at the, you know, in the arts. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I find that kind of side has come through a bit in the writing that I do now. But, I saw this little piece of paper in the Blackfella Centre at the university and I was like, oh, I saw it and then I couldn't get it out of my head. So, and I saw Lave Charlton was the artistic director and he played my father in The Dreamers by Jack Davis.
That's right, yes.
At Kwemjidara when I was 16 years old, I made my professional acting debut. So I saw that as a sign. I was like, oh, deadly. Maybe I don't even have to audition.
Well, yeah, he was my dad, so he let me...
Yeah, pull that card. Well, yeah. Yeah, but I went to ACPA, majored in acting, and then wasn't really getting cast in the kind of shows that I wanted to get cast in. Mm. I was auditioning for lots of stuff that was more kind of earlier kind of settlement kind of stories and stuff like that. Mm. And I was just like, I do want to do other things. Mm. So I started writing my own work.
Yeah. Mm. And tell us a little bit about the work that you've written and do you cast yourself in your...
Of course, I actually don't.
And that's one thing that you two share is that you know you're both writers and you know you have a passion for that. And you know you mentioned before of it that you know you a part of it you did it because you know the roles weren't out there and you weren't seeing, you know. And I think it is a part of our, you know, industry that unfortunately there isn't those roles for black fellas. And slowly it's changing because I know when I went to NIDA back in the day and really there was only Aaron Pedersen and I think Deb, you know, of course there was like Honey Justine and all the old ones that were there, trailblazers that, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are.
That's right.
But, you know, there was a big gap between them and then the next generation. And then for so long, particularly on TV, you know, and particularly in theatre, like you're saying, you know, it was a lot of the plays are about, you know, kitchen sink, mission, you know, plays, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's about going, you know, we are much more than that. So it's interesting that, you know, a lot of our mob go to start writing to create those pathways, you know?
Yeah. And that's not a bad challenge for us as well, because I think that if you are a storyteller and you have a connection and feeling to want to interpret and exhibit that as an actor, you definitely have that skill set to write. I feel like everybody does. They just don't realise it.
And so tell us a little bit about, so you've done a lot of kind of different art forms and so you've got a business now. Tell us about your other business because you're not doing enough by the sounds of it.
Not at all. You know, like I just, all this spare time on my hands and I think, oh, you know, what can I do? So I might do this too. No, look, up in Queensland, it's been very difficult and kind of heartbreaking over the years, to be honest and fair. A lot of our really wonderful, talented performers coming up through the ranks would often move into state. As you all know, there's heaps of Murray.
State. And I'm from Darwin, so you know, it's the same. We have to move,
same.
You know.
Exactly. And my biggest thing was, why should we have to move? You know, because presently it's heartbreaking to look around and see things like depression affecting our performers, being disheartened and feeling displaced and feeling confused and just struggling financially. So I've launched a boutique talent management agency called Walker and Campos. We're about diversity across the board. So we do specialise in black fella talent, but we do represent, if you've got that common thread, if you feel like you don't fit in somewhere, we'll have you. And we're sort of in the very, very early founding stages of an independent Indigenous performing arts company up there.
How exciting.
Yeah, so that'll take a while, but it's in the mix, you know, because it's we've got to do something. And so I'm going to stay in Queensland and, you know, connect with our beautiful interstate peers and stuff like that. And, you know, so this Yuin Boy is really exciting for me to be a part of this and that kind of stuff, because it's like, great, maybe this is, you know, on a smaller scale, something that Brisbane might sort of be able to have one day.
Yeah. I'm really curious to know, being in a state, is there anyone you're dying to meet, anyone you're really, like, looking forward to seeing or talking to? Is there...
Like, I was pointing out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Miscellaneous is pointing at herself. My eyes just went real wide.
So you've already met one of the stars.
No, Gammon. Sorry.
I've heard a lot about this incredible curator of the opening night of Yuin Boy, Ben Gratz, and really looking forward to
that hussy
because I've heard that what he's got planned is really spectacular. And you mentioned something about the costumes too at some point,
I'm not going to give it all away. Well, the horrible thing is that, you know, it's all the tickets are sold out, so like this is now the hottest ticket in town. Even though it's free, it's the hottest free ticket in town, because I think it's because of the capacity issue that they you know have to just have that many people. So, you know, I've got all these people texting me going, you know, can you get me a ticket? So, you know, so maybe people can start selling them. They're free, just start selling them. You've got to make some money. No, Gammon, just Gammon.
Well,
but you know, look, you know, I was asked by Jacob, and you know, it was such an honor that he asked me to curate and direct the opening party. So there's the ceremonial part of the evening, which is from 6 o'clock, and then my part starts from 7:30. So I'm, you know, so there's lots of, like, you know, dancers, there's lots of DJs, lots of costumes and lots of glitter. So, you know, and Jacob, the brief was, you know, just make it really fabulous.
Just go all out.
So, you know, so hopefully, you know.
How does that feel for you, though?
To what's that?
To
go all out.
Well, yeah, to go all out there. You know, have that instruction, go all out.
Look, I mean, you know, I'm lucky because one of my businesses is that I do dance parties. So I run events, and I love it. And I love people just having a great time. And I throw the parties that I want to go to and that I want to have fun at. And I love just making people happy. And that's one thing about drag that I do love, is that it brings so much joy. And I've spoken about this before on the show, because people kind of ask me about how's the community, how's it been a black fella and you being in drag. And I just say, look, you know, people love it. And all the old mob, you know, because I do the senior NAIDOC ball in Darwin, and they love it more than, you know, the younger ones. And it's just because, you know, I bring so much joy, and my character Miscellaneous brings so much joy to the community, and we're able to laugh. And I think, you know, it's something in our community that, you know, we are struck with so much, you know, sadness a lot of the time. And, you know, if whatever we can do to make ourselves happy and really, you know, enjoy the moment and really be proud of what we do, like, I'm all for it. And so I'm just so fortunate that I'm able to act like a clown and literally make people laugh, you know, and have a good time.
And that's beautiful. And thank you for being one of those mob in our community that do that, because that's amazing. It's so valuable.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So we're going to just have a little bit more of a chat, and then we're going to have a break, and then we're going to come back to you, Alexis, because your CV is like two pages here. So I can't
knock it off.
I can't read.
I'm a writer. I'm not at all. I'm a writer.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So you just write and I'll read it out. But we met briefly recently as a part of a little showing that you were a part of it, the Botanical Gardens.
Oh, yeah. Yes, was Call Me Blood.
Call Me Blood, which was an incredible new work, which you were a part of the development of that.
Back in 2015.
And so that project's been going. And I know Willow, who was one of the co-writers on the...
Yeah, Willow and Halcyon.
It still has really stayed with me. And
me too.
It was one of these pieces that it was performed in the Botanical Gardens. And basically, to summarise the story, it was about a Caucasian girl who lived in the Caribbean and was friends with a Caribbean girl, and basically talks about the story of kind of race and what it's like to be in the, you know, the white Caribbean, that black-white relationship, and the complexities of family and all of that. And what was so great was traveling through the botanical gardens and the senses of the, you know, the smells and the sounds and
absolutely,
and their dialogue, because they had radio mics and everyone had a radio, so you could listen to what they were saying, and you followed them through the botanical gardens, and you ended up at one stage in the greenhouse. And so it felt like you were in the Caribbean because of the humidity, and the final image, which stayed with me,
was so profound,
was you come out of the greenhouse, and on this green kind of grassy area is Willow, who's naked. And you have the actress, what's her name, the Caribbean actress? I forgot her name.
It'll come to me 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. So she had a machete in her hand, and she was in a kind of a regal...
the red coat.
The red coat, yes. Basically. And, you know, Willow
looking
was kneeling in front of
stunning
her.
Stunning and powerful.
Stunning and powerful. Yep. And then she lifted Willow's head up and poured black molasses down her mouth and all over her body. Yep. And it was just after this kind of hour of listening and being hypnotized by their dialogue and their story, you came out to that image. And it was so, I'm getting goosebumps because it was so powerful.
As well.
And the most amazing thing was a full moon that night as well. Mm-hmm. And so as they were there doing that, the full moon was coming up behind the trees. And it was just and for us black fellas, you know, it was this whole thing about, you know, colonization and genocide and this kind of this pattern that keeps occurring and
the drowning in molasses and sugar and you know you look at the effects of sugar
absolutely.
To this day and just it was just so incredibly
so powerful so yeah so we might intense. Take a little break now and we'll come back and we'll talk to the fabulous Alexis West. You're on Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9.
myself, Alexis, Yvette, and Miss E are just dying. Dying. Just know how you're feeling.
Anything random.
Anything random. Like, are you both single? Maybe we'll get you.
Oh, geez.
Bang, let's start with that.
Let's start with that.
Yes.
So, speaking of single, like Gavin. So, Alexis West, we've known each other for quite a while now. And
yeah, I reckon.
You know, you've had such a long career as well, and you
kind
know,
random.
dabbled in a lot of things. And I think we met as I
dental nursing being a highlight.
Well, it's always so much fun with you. You know, so much fun cracking up. But you know, you're a writer, director, performer, creator, choreographer, artist, facilitator. You know, and but I think a lot of people do know you for your writing. Tell us a little bit about you know where that came from and what inspired you to do that, and some of the highlights around that.
I think very similar to Vetti, the fact that I would be auditioning for roles and, you know, of course, I'm auditioning with the likes of Deborah Malman and Rachel Mazza and Ursula Ljovic and, you know, they're amazing. And I kind of started to see that there weren't that, first of all, that there wasn't that many roles out there, that the roles were very stereotypical and... Perhaps in the back of my head, I started to realise maybe I'm actually not that good. So I thought perhaps I should kind of step aside and start writing. So, but initially, I started writing. It was like, oh, bugger this! I'm just going to write myself into a play, and then I guess I started realising that the stories are bigger than me. And it is actually about offering a platform for the story to go on and for other people to have a voice to showcase their talent and their skills and to work in a creative team and a family. And that's part of the magic that I love about theatre, which is one of the worlds that I do write in, the platforms that I do write in. But I think I've always been a kind of a closet writer. I was writing poetry back in my pre-teens and I didn't actually share with anyone that I was a poet probably until I was like 19, 20 years old. And I think studying at university, learning the basics of beginning, middle and end helped. And then just listening to people telling stories, it's embedded in us. It's that blood memory of storytelling and ceremony and, you know, songs and dance and all of that. It's in our blood memory. So and then just utilising, you know, the tools that, and skills that I'd been learning. Writing just kind of seemed to come to me, I guess, more naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And you've won a lot of awards.
Have I?
For your writing?
Yeah. No. No, I haven't.
Stop being modest.
No, true, I haven't. Like, I think,
Yeah, no, you've won a couple of awards.
Have I?
Yeah, and you've, like...
Right.
I don't even know.
My head's going really hot.
You have won the first prize for poetry competition Open Your Mind, published in Mind Frames 2011.
Oh, thank there you. Yeah.
Make a speech.
You haven't shaved, job.
Yeah, no, I just, you're blushing.
Oh, bless. Yeah. I'm really dark, but yeah, my head is really hot. Really, you can see me. I'm blushing.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Very humble.
Aww.
And you worked with Black Armband?
No, I didn't. So that was Alexis Wright. So,
oh, Alexis Wright. Yeah. Do you always get confused with those things?
I just look up to her. She's one of my idols. Mm. Her, Alexis Wright, and and Alice Walker, and I've got the same initials. So I just look up to these incredible, powerful women and storytellers. They're my heroes.
It's so great that both of you, and I think what you touched on before is that, you know, that they, these are our stories, and as you said, they become bigger than you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to acknowledge and, like, thank you for continuing our stories, because I think, you know, without writers and without that on paper, you know, like our mob, we don't get empowered and we don't have those opportunities and we don't, you know, I think it's just so great that what you're doing. So I just want to thank you for that, because, you know, we are an oral culture, and without, you know, I think a lot of the time, because of that, we have lost our language because of stuff that's happened to us. And so to be able to write that down and to be able to have it in front of us, I think is so, and plays and theatre and is so great. So now, what are you working on next? What's coming up for you?
At the moment, so while I'm here in the Kulin Nations, over in Kaurna country in Adelaide, Natasha Wanganine and Nadia Rossi and the State Theatre Company are going to be putting out a show.
That's right.
And that I've co-wrote with Eleanor Carapetis.
Oh, yes. I went to Nida with
Morrison.
Her.
Oh, she's amazing. Is she not the bomb? Oh,
she was in third year when I was in first year, and she was in Glen Shay's year. So Glenn Shay was, they were in the same year.
Yeah.
She was also so gorgeous.
She's so
gorgeous.
She's
still gorgeous.
And she's so incredibly intelligent and generous and wonderful to work with. And
so when's that on? What's that?
So opening night is happening tomorrow night at Golden Grove Theatre in South Australia. And it's really great because it's going on to regional and remote, I think for a few weeks before it then lands back in Adelaide at the Space Theatre on May the 30th. So it gives the actors time to really kind of get the story into their bodies, because there's been sorry business happening for one Natasha's and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but where are you based?
I'm based currently...
I'm like,
I'm just kind of charting around the nation. currently in South Australia.
Floating around.
Yes.
And Yvette, what's coming up for you? Like, what's... And you're just your business?
Yeah, just the business. And
a couple of really good ideas that have kind of been bouncing around.
Look,
hot off the press. Listen to this, folks.
Hot off the press, everybody. No, I can't talk about it.
If it's on radio, it must be true.
Well, that's right. Yeah. No, but final stage development for one of my stage plays that is pretty out there. It's modern day Blackfella Melrose Place.
Great. Would love that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So wrapping that up, also doing the screenplay of that as well.
Wow.
Because
the play's not enough.
No.
So you got it.
No.
And I forgot to mention as well is that you said that your nephew is from Cloncurry as well as, Stephen Oliver.
Yes, he is.
The big what's his name slut.
Yeah, that's right.
That's him,
yeah, the big dot.
The big dot.
So yeah, the big dot. So my mother is his mother's auntie.
Oh, wow.
So when I was born an auntie.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's that little connect. Well, maybe,
we're gonna take another quick break, and we'll come back and while we're on the break, we'll have a little gossip about Stephen Oliver.
We definitely will.
But we'll be back very soon. You're on Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9.
For you to come and change my mood. The shadows on the wall just express my pain, and I can't even say your name. Where are you? I need you. I want you so close to me. But who are you? I don't even know what you mean to me. Oh, I wish you were standing on the other side of the room. But the strings are broken and it's tuned bizarre. Memories of you still invade my brain, and I don't wanna see them again. But my head and my heart, my soul, they don't seem to know that you're gone and I'm wrong, and I can't seem to let you go. I wish you were standing on the other side of the room.
Lovely lies, let me live in this bliss, shining like a light, just waiting for you to come back and make everything alright. Baby, don't you cry, don't you cry. You say I'll be there tonight to hold you. You know I've been waiting for you to say those words for so long, so long.
So cold, cold, cold. And I don't wanna see them again. But my head and my heart, my soul, they don't seem to know that you're gone and I'm wrong, and I can't seem to let you go. I wish you were standing on the other side of the room.
The other side of the room. The other side of the room.
Time started demanding that I should get right.
The gorgeous Jesse Lloyd with Other Side of the Room. You're on Joy 94.9, Urban Dreaming. Now we're going to do a new little segment that I just made up. We made up this afternoon because we don't have time tonight for Missy's hot box. So we're going to do Declan's Discussions. So what's your discussion this week, Declan?
So I have a discussion. I have a discussion about treaty. Look, it's been big news and it's happening, you know, in South Australia, it's happening in Victoria, I think it's happening in Northern Territory too.
Well, look, it's been happening in the Northern Territory since the 1988.
Speaking from WA, I mean, we have the Noongar Agreement, so the kind of treaty there as well. But this is tying in obviously with long-running talk of constitutional recognition. It's all happening at once. Specifically speaking, I mean, I went to the latest treaty forum on Friday. It was down Wurundjeri Way at the convention centre, And it was hosted, emceed by Richard Franklin, had the interim working group. And, yeah, I mean, if anyone saw it on the news, it wasn't... It was a somewhat contentious, somewhat fractious meeting, but...
Can I see what some of the outcomes? Because I was there for the original one, and so I think there's been three now.
Yeah.
Or possibly even four.
Yeah.
And so the original one it sounds exactly the same. Like, there was a lot of contention. You know, it's a very kind of heated discussion. Mm. So I'd be interested to know, were there kind of things that were any actions that came out of it that you feel, or...
It is very interesting. I mean, Lydia Thorpe was there, for example, who was originally on the interim working group, but of course left a while ago, and she was taking... she and Gary Murray, Jason Tamaru, there were a few of maybe the most impassioned voices saying that they felt that things hadn't really... Things that in past forums had not been addressed. Still lay somewhat unaddressed. I would say overall the problem was essentially there was a lack of communication between what the organisers... I mean, we went in and it didn't seem to have... There was no sense of agenda beforehand. There wasn't a sense of what we would be talking about and what substantial information we needed to know to talk about what we were supposed to be talking about. So I think a bit of a communication problem. And speaking to other people at the event, I mean, I would say by the end of the event, I personally only saw two tables writing in terms of giving feedback about the... this form of representation they were interested in. So that was out of maybe, who knows, 15 or so tables, 16.
And is this still, you know, like, because I've attended these things, I'm sure all of us in this room have attended these things, and, you know, the thing that really always strikes me about this is that it's done in a very white Western European way. And to me it's kind of going, is this going to work? Do we need to shift the paradigm so we're actually... doing it in the context of a blackfellow way and in a cultural way, instead of trying to fit a square peg into a round peg. Mm. And I think that, you know, there's always butting heads at these forums because, you know, there's a time limit and there's a very white Western European structure of doing it.
Yeah. If you look at the Victorian Treaty Forum, they've accumulated the sort of reviews of all the forums thus far, and the ongoing thing that is said is that it needs to involve elders, it needs to, you know, it has to be about, I mean, what is the point? The point is for substantive representation, input, determination. So what you're saying essentially, I think, is all about that. And I mean, there's absolutely no point unless that is the aim and that is the agenda and that is in fact what you're doing each time you meet, that you are incorporating that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is a topic that we could definitely talk about all night. And it might be, you know, we'll try and get Jason Tamaru in the studio because I know that he's a very passionate man.
He made at least 50 seconds of the NITV report, I have to say. He got a lot of airtime.
I've known him for a good time, my brother Jason Tamaru. And, you know, I love that there are those fighters out there and those vocal ones that are, you know, stirring and ruffling the feathers. You're on Joy 94.9. Remember, coming up next, we have Triple Bypass, and they're going to be talking about My Other Closet, The Cabaret, a show about queer male domestic violence. So we've come to the end. Once again, this 1 hour just goes so quickly. I'd like to thank my very special guests, Yvette Walker, Alexis West, and our co-host, the very handsome Declan Fry.
And oh, shucks.
Chris. And Chris T, our panellist, who doesn't have a microphone at the moment because Alexis has got it, he's just waving. But thank you so much. I know that you wanted to mention something really quickly there, Yvette.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, guys. Such an honour and privilege. We love your show. So I just wanted to just remind everybody about the Aboriginal Ballet Dancers of Australia panel that is going to be happening on the 7th of May at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Melbourne City Town Hall. So that's our beautiful Aboriginal ballet dancers of Australia, Now and Then, Our Forgotten Heroes. So this is a historical event, and as much of you who can come along and support our beautiful Aboriginal dancers, ballet dancers, that would be wonderful.
And where can people find out more information? Just the Black Dance website?
Yeah. Yep. So please go to our Black Dance Facebook page. It's BLAKDANCE. And also our website. And, you know, there's a phone number that you can call if you have any questions or anything like that. But it would be really incredible if people can get along to that.
Absolutely. That sounds extraordinary. And, you know, for people to go and, you know, acknowledge those Aboriginal ballet dancers.
Yeah,
that, you know,
incredible. All the way from, you know, our very first Aboriginal ballet dancer in 1956 all the way up to today.
Wow.
Yeah.
How amazing. Well, I'll be doing the splits in, you know, tribute to them
Deadly.
Tonight.
All right. I'll hold you to that.
In my dreams. But thank you once again for coming, and thank you for, you know, your glorious work that you do in our community, and, you know, keep those stories really strong. And, you know, I'm very proud of you both and can't wait to celebrate.
Likewise.
Can't wait to dance it up on Friday night.
Yes, bring your dancing shoes.
Yes.
And Declan, thank you. We'll probably see you next week, hey?
Yeah.
And for everyone else, please make sure you check out the Yirrumboy website, because that's all kicking off this Friday. It's a 10-day festival. It's a citywide blackout. There's lots of event. I'm doing drag, a story children book reading in the mall next Saturday the 12th. Miss Alanis will be sitting on that pearl next to H&M telling stories. So come down and see her. Thanks, everyone. Have a fabulous night. We'll see you all soon.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.